Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
This past Friday, I was looking on, which I don't do all the time, but I just happened to be looking on Twitter. Are y'all on Twitter? Do y'all tweet? Anyway, I don't tweet much, but if I do, it's normally something about the church. But anyway, so I was on there, and Idlewild Baptist Church down in Tampa, where Ken Witten is the pastor, they had a message on there that said you could go on their church website and see a service. It was a funeral service. And I thought that was kind of interesting that they, and they're evidently on television, they've got all this equipment, everything, and they live stream all, whatever happens in their auditorium, they live stream it. So I thought, wow, they said that, and they showed a picture of this guy, and he looked like a young man, and so I just clicked on it. It's amazing what you can do with technology. I was watching a live worship service, a live service on this device on Friday. And so, anyway, it turns out it was a service for a gentleman named Tom Lachlan. Tom had been a member there at Idlewild. He was 41 years of age, has 6 children. They were having his funeral. Now, Dr. Ken Witten is the pastor down in Idlewild, and I really love Dr. Witten. He was on staff with Dr. Adrian Rogers, and he got a little bit of the glory of Dr. Rogers when he was served with him, and Dr. Witten is just the real deal. I really appreciate him. And so I just was listening, and they had his brothers get up and share. Of course, Dr. Witten shared. They had beautiful music. But I couldn't turn it off. I mean, I'm sitting here, you know, had things I could be doing, but I got started on it, and I could not turn it off because of how powerful the hope was in the family. This guy had played football at NC State and ended up relocating, and some accident happened. He was an avid, I don't know, it just said in the obituary that he drowned, so I don't know what all happened. But he left a sweet wife and 6 children. The whole service was about that life's not over when this life passes away, but there's somewhere else we're going. Amen. And it just made it so real to me that the promise of heaven. Now, Dr. Waylon Moore says that one of the things we need to do is get the promises of God and glue them to our problems. You glue the promise to the problem. And so we have a fear of the future, or we have a perhaps wondering about heaven. Is there really a heaven? He says you get a promise from God's word and you glue it to the problem. So one of the things we're going to do in this precious promises Bible studies, we're going to get some promises to glue to problems. Now, Dr. Moore, I can't do it like him, but he sings a little jingle. He's so funny. He does that kind of stuff anyway. He says, you glue the promise to the problem, glue the promise to the problem. Good. No, I'm not going to do that anymore, okay? I just want you to know. But the Bible is a book of promises, and tonight we're going to talk about the promise of heaven. What a promise. Amen. That we have heaven to look forward to. Now, quickly to review, we're talking about the Lord has promises. How do we get in on these promises? And the truth of the matter is, can God really keep his promise? Can he keep his promise? Well, look at Psalm 103:19. I'm only going to read one of these verses. And I've realized in doing these Bible studies, these things are going to be like Bible drills, I'm telling you, because we're all over the scripture. But Psalm 103:19, some of y'all don't know what a Bible drill is, do you? Okay, I'm sorry. That's where you race to find scriptures. We used to do it for fun when we were kids, okay? We didn't have anything else to do. I'm kidding. All right. Psalm 103:19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." Folks, make no mistake about it. Can God keep his promise? You better believe it. He rules over all. And then the second blank there in the review is, will he? And we know from 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, that he has strong, that he might strongly support those whose heart is perfect towards him. We know that God is faithful, Hebrews 10:23 says. We know that in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says there's no temptation that has taken us but such as is common to man. Then it says, but God is faithful, so he will. If he says he's going to keep his promise, he will. So tonight I want us to look at the promise of heaven. Now the scripture teaches us about heaven and about eternal life. Now I want you to find the book of Proverbs, Psalms, and then Proverbs. And then I want you to go past the book of Proverbs to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says this, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end." In the middle of that verse, there's a phrase there. It says, "And he has put eternity in their hearts." Number one on this, when you think about eternity, okay, that goes forever and ever, right? So can I tell you this? Man senses it in his being. I'm talking about heaven. Now, you may talk to someone who says, "Oh, I don't believe in heaven. I just believe you're just gonna go back to the worms." Well, they may say that, but can I tell you this? The Word of God says that God has put eternity on their hearts. Can I tell you this? In Romans, the first chapter, we are created in the image of God, and the Lord brings conviction just from creation that there is a God. So human beings, even if they were raised to never know that there was a heaven or an eternal life or Christ dying for their sins, it is built in them to sense that there's something after this life. Can you believe how mesmerized our culture is with death and with what's after death? All the books that are written. And so man senses it in his being. Some people think that before they, and by the way, as a pastor, and this brother right here, Brother Edwin's a pastor, a retired pastor. He's retired from having a church, but the Lord's put him right here to continue to minister, and that's what he's doing faithfully. But I know that he has this experience. It's amazing when you are with folks at death's door. The line between death and eternity, between life on this side and eternity on this side, it at times gets a little blurry. Now, the Lord has never let me peek over, but sometimes his saints, before they go, they kind of peek over. And I'm telling you, it's, you know, and I don't propose to recommend to you books to read about people that say they went to heaven and came back and all that. But I will tell you this, some of it may be true in the sense that line is a little foggy right there between life on this side and eternity on that side. And the Lord has put it in us to sense and to know that there is an eternity, okay? So in John chapter 11, if you want to find that passage. And Jamie, if you'll kind of just stay ahead with me, you're helping me. She's going to put them up for us, and she's going to put them up for me too, so that way I don't have to find them all so quickly. But Jesus said heaven was real. That's the blank. Jesus said heaven was real. In John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." And then verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus was saying that there is life after death. There is eternity. There is a place called heaven. So heaven is real. He promised it to his disciples. In John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One of the greatest passages gives such hope I've used it so many times in a funeral situation, that there is, that God has gone to prepare a place. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. So he promised it to his disciples. Now, the best known verse about eternal life, and I left it blank, is which one? John 3:16. Let's just say it together. Of course, there's so many versions we've all memorized, but let's say it. If we've got John 3:16 up on the screen, let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The most well-known verse about eternal life, and the Lord gave us that verse. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. The scripture says this, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Number five, our minds cannot comprehend or can't comprehend heaven. Can you imagine what the Lord has prepared? The scripture says it's never even entered into our mind. Now, I don't know about some of you, but I grew up in a church where the pastor talked about heaven a lot and talked about what he thought was in heaven. You know, like biscuits and, you know, I mean, stuff like that. I mean, like, you know, great, you know, big banquets and a great fishing and stuff like that. But hey, can I tell you this? You could think of the greatest thing you would ever want to think of that heaven would be like. And the truth is, if you knew it, you couldn't even comprehend it. The scripture makes it clear, our minds cannot even comprehend heaven. Now, go to the very last book of the Bible, Revelation, and go to the very end, chapter 21. Chapter 22 is after that, and we'll go to 21, verse 11. I was going to go back up and read more, but I'd have to go so far. Look at verse 11, talking about heaven. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. This is talking about heaven in Revelation. Look at verse 21. This is where they get the thought that heaven has streets of gold. Look at verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. Well, that's quite a pearl, huh? And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I don't know how gold comes out like transparent glass, but I'm telling you, that is some kind of gold. Can I say this, number six? Heaven is glorious. Heaven is glorious. And in verse 23, it says, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is the light. Do not even need a sun. I mean, our sun puts out so many lumens that lights up the earth. But in heaven, you don't even need a sun. The glory of Almighty God is there. Can I tell you this? Heaven is glorious. Never forget that. Streets of gold. Revelation 21. Oh, I just lost my place here. Revelation 21. Go back and look at verse 4. Revelation 21, 4 says this, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Now, this world we live in right now is imperfect. Can I tell you this? Heaven is perfect. Heaven is perfect. The former things have passed away. And in verse 27, it says, "But there shall by no means enter it." Look at this verse. This is Revelation 21, 27. "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." I'm telling you, sin will not be there. It's a perfect place. Heaven is a perfect place. Now, go back to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And I want to find this one. Psalm 16, verse 11. In this passage, David is talking about the presence of God. He says, "In your presence is fullness of joy." He says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Heaven is joyous. Heaven is joyous. This will be a place that will bring great joy. Hey, listen. Now, we don't know everything about it. There's a lot that's a mystery about heaven. But there are a couple of things that we know. For example, David in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. 2 Samuel 12, 23. He talks about when he lost his son. And he says, "He cannot come to me, but I can go to him." Now he was saying that he was going to eventually go where he was and gave the impression he would see him again. Okay? Now, can I tell you this? In 1994, my mother went to heaven. And Kelly and I were living in Jacksonville. The Lord gave us, after I left North Central in 1989, we went to Jacksonville. We were there for almost 5 years before Mom died. The Lord gave us those 5 years with Mom in Jacksonville. It was a glorious, glorious time. But can I tell you this? I haven't had my mom since 1994. Some of y'all hadn't had your moms for much, much longer than that. Can I tell you this? We're going to see them again. Amen. She can't come back, but I can go to her. Amen. Okay? So that's one of the joys of heaven. Now, in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 3, let me look at that. Matthew 17, one through three. This was Peter, James, and John with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. In verse 2 it says, "And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." Now get this in verse 3. "And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them." Hey, they recognize them. So you say, well, are we just going to be spirits that float around and not have any identity in heaven? Oh, no. You're going to be able to see those that have gone on before us. Hey, think about it. Think about people in your life. You know, I could name some people in my life, but you think about your life. Think about grandparents. Think about people that influenced you spiritually in your life. You'll be able to see them. And that's pretty amazing stuff. So we will be reunited with loved ones. We will see them. And then in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13, it talks about that we will worship. Revelation 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever. So you're going to see your loved ones. It's going to be a joyous place. But now here's the question. Are we going to only worship? Is that all we're going to do is worship? Now, we are going to worship. Okay, I promise you, we are going to be singing blessing and glory and power and honor be to the Lord, okay? But I want you to also know, number nine, heaven will be busy, okay? Heaven will be busy, because in the book of Revelation, it says this in Revelation 22 and verse 3, if you want to find that. It says, talking about heaven, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. Now watch this. And his servants shall serve him. Amen. What do you think you're going to do up there, Robert? Amen. You're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Hey, you got something to do. Amen. Now, I don't know, when I was a kid and the pastor talked about heaven, you know, I thought, am I going to float around on a cloud all my life and play a harp? Because that did not sound fun. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to worship the Lord. And by the way, don't you love singing these great hymns? I mean, man, Tog and the team led us tonight. How great thou art. Amen. You get any better than singing those words? And then, by the way, when you do the key change, you send me into orbit on that. For that last verse, when Christ shall come. That's a blessing. So we're going to worship. But I want you to know something, folks. It's not just that we're going to only worship, but part of our worship will be serving the Lord. Now, if you look at verse 5 in that same passage, it says, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. You ready for this? And they shall reign forever and ever. Now, I don't know what all that means, but I just want you to know you don't have to sit on a cloud the whole time. Okay, so there's going to be busyness. There's going to be serving the Lord in heaven. All right, a couple more verses and we'll have our promise of heaven. Amen? All right, I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5. And this is a familiar passage to you. 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. When you have the Son, heaven is certain. Amen. That's what you need to write in that blank. Heaven is certain. It can be certain. That's why one of the greatest things you can ever do for a new believer is to give them the assurance of their salvation. Amen. Now, can I say this? There's a difference between salvation and the assurance of salvation. A person can be saved. It's just like a little teeny baby's alive, but you say, are you living? And they just look at you. They're so young. They don't understand it yet. So when you get to the point that you can be saved, but you very quickly need to get to the point that you have the assurance of your salvation. Amen. And you have it based on the promise. The promise is he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things were written that you might know that you have eternal life. So heaven is certain. Now, this is the one thing I discovered that I was waiting till the end to tell you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And I even got Robert to turn there when I said that. He heard me say that, and he even turned in his Bible. No, he turns in it all the time. Okay. 1 Peter 5:1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Now, can I tell you something? This is pretty neat. We will grasp it when we get there.
Amen.
We know there's the promise of heaven, but you know, you can study all you want, you can try to figure it all out. You won't be able to figure it all out. But can I tell you this? That says that the glory will be revealed. When we get there, we'll grasp it. I was telling you about that fella that passed away, and I watched that whole service. It was very, very powerful. Think about that threshold of going from this life to the next life. I've told you this story, but it illustrates it for me. And hopefully it will help cement it for you. When I was in seminary at Southwestern, I had a professor, Dr. David Garland, and he taught us Hebrew. And he would come in, and boy, this guy just walked with God. He was really encouraging. But all of us guys were there, and the ladies were there that were there, and we were there studying Hebrew. He was talking about that God's grace is sufficient. And he told the story of when he was a pastor, that there was a godly deacon in his church who was on his deathbed. And he said, I was sitting at Thanksgiving meal, and they called the house and they said, Pastor, this is it. This is the end. Can you come? And so he finished his dinner and he went to the hospital. He said, and I'll never forget, I don't know why it was so picturesque to me, but he described it, and I could just picture it. He said, I opened the door of the hospital room, and all the family was around his bed. He said, now this was a godly man in our church. Everybody knew him. He loved the Lord Jesus, and he loved the church, and everybody loved him. And they were all, his family was all around him. He said, when I opened the door, they saw me. They parted and made a little spot at the foot of the bed. And so he said, I went up and I stood at the foot of the bed, and we were standing all there, and it was the very, very end. This man was about to go into eternity. And he said, all of a sudden, my deacon mustered up all the energy that he had. He kind of lifted his head up, and he looked right at me, and he winked. I have never forgotten that story. And then he told all of us, and of course we were just as quiet as a mouse. He told all of us, he said, that was my deacon friend's way of telling me, preacher, I'm all right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, hey, I'm how old am I? I'm 56. I'm not planning on going anytime soon, okay? I'm not planning on going. But can I tell you something? You don't know how that message right there has encouraged me to know that, you know what? I don't have dying grace right now because I'm not dying. But in that moment, that man said to him, Pastor, I'm okay. And that's the way, that's the promise that we have from God. So I want us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer, and I want us to rejoice in what the Lord has done for us in giving us these awesome promises. My prayer is that everyone in our church family that's here, our children, our young people, all of our congregation would realize that God has given us precious promises that we can hold on to that will help us in this life.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.